this nation has
there are four essential economic freedoms.
The excessive decline.
Greed.
In the dollar.
For lack of a better word.
Late rally on Wall Street.
Too big to fail.
Growing the economy.
Growing the economy. Economy.
Welcome.
Yeah. This is Money Talks.
Good morning. You're listening to Money Talks, Atlanta's longest-running, most respected money show on radio. I'm Matt Hames, here with the gang, Troy, Nick, and of course KC.
Of course, KC.
Of course,
regular now.
That's right,
KC and his gang. So we're glad to be with you this morning. We got a lot to cover this week. There's a lot of things that have happened in the market, and as we always like to say at the beginning of the show, of course, many of you longtime listeners are aware of this. We record the show on Thursday afternoon, but you're listening to us on Saturday morning. So if you've got questions you want us to answer, if you've got things you want to send in, by all means do that. During the week, you can reach us on the phone at 770-429-9166, or if you want to email us at drgene@hensler.com. You can get us your questions. We'd love to speak to any concerns or comments you've got on the air. We got a few of those we'll cover today. Got a case study we're going to cover. But, Troy, what's going on this week?
Hadn't been the best. I'll start with year-to-date. We're market's up a little over 3%, but the last 5 days have been down 0.2%. So it's I guess we'll claim
kind of
been
an up and down sort of week. You get
you really see
the Dow fall about 200 points. The next day it's up 200 points. You see it sell off, 100 points or so and come back. So kind of been an up and down week.
Seems like it's been that way all year, kind of trading in a fairly narrow range and ups and downs.
It's gotten a little bit crazier in the last few days at least, and maybe even a couple of weeks. But
specifically, you see energy bringing the market down a little bit this week. We saw oil prices bounce back over the past couple of weeks, back over $60 a barrel. And just this week, you've seen it, prices kind of collapse back down to that $56, $57 barrel range.
Yeah, no doubt. Seen a couple of corporate actions, too. We saw some mergers announced this week, but all things considered, it hasn't been a big positive. Maybe we'll just chalk it up to the market taking an extra day off. What do you think?
Yeah, that holiday shortened week.
Absolutely. If you look into the sectors, though, we got information technology still positive. It's been one of the bellwethers, but healthcare really the biggest positive. Over
healthcare is propping us up.
Sure. And you mentioned technology and the big M&A this week. I mean, you have a big chip deal. I think the biggest chip deal we've ever had between Avago and Broadcom.
Right.
So that's helping boost technology shares, I'm sure.
Absolutely. If you look, this is still amazing to me. Market's up 3%. Healthcare is up 9.4 year to date.
Wow.
Just the sector. Consumer discretionary is up about 6.25%. Utilities still, that's an amazing story too. At negative 6%, it's lost 6% year to date.
Yeah, we'll actually touch on that a little bit later in the show.
Yeah, we will. Yep. Got some economic news out. Durable goods was released this week. New order durable goods fell 0.5% in April. They say you take away the transportation goods and you wind up with a number that's positive. So most of the negatives were concentrated there. The positive without transportation was up
half a percent.
So
because transportation goods were up big in March, right?
So right.
Yeah.
It's right. Kind of expected leveling off there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Inventories are building, though, a little bit, 0.2, and that's usually a good sign for future growth.
Sure.
So we'll hope that's coming. Case-Shiller-Holmes Index had a negative, right?
Yes, I think the first decrease in about 3 months.
Yeah.
10-City Composite Index was up 4.7% over last year. And then the 20-City was up about 5% over last year. So, I mean, obviously it's still good to see growth in the 4.5% to 5% range, but relative to the previous reading, it is slowing. Down.
So growth is there, but it's slowing a bit.
Interest rates probably having some impact on that.
Yeah, sure. This week we saw interest rates, on a 30-year, like 4%. It's up just a little bit.
4%
from 3.92. So it's up, but just slightly for a 30-year mortgage. We also saw consumer confidence is positive. They said the assessment of current conditions really was the big plus there. Still Expectations were the weakest since 2014. So kind of a plus and a minus in that particular report.
Yeah, and the concern there really is that you're going to see a slow rebound in consumer spending as we move into the second quarter.
Yeah, that's still the piece that's baffling me when you have gas prices that have been so low, and the consumer still has not stepped up and started spending like we expected. So I guess the savings that they're achieving on lower gas prices are going somewhere, paying down debt.
But what's surprising on that same note is that it says expectations were the weakest since May 2014. So forward looking, what are consumers expecting going forward? You know, they seem to be confident in present conditions, but you know, not so certain as to what's to come in the near term.
It's amazing because clients that I talk to, I mean, people are generally still a little bit shell-shocked from 2008. It seems like nobody's really willing to put that money back into spending.
So nobody remembers 2013 when the market was up 32%.
Right. Yeah. Nope.
It is bizarre.
And it underscores just, you know, we talk about the Great Recession now almost like it's a data point, but the reality is the emotional baggage that goes along with that big of a downturn, that much impact on things that not just the equity markets, right? I mean, the value of their homes got hit so hard.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that is unsettling at a level that it's going to take time.
Sure.
It's going to take time.
No doubt. New home sales was one of the biggest positives in the economic releases this week. Surprised to the upside in April, positive 6.8% from the previous month, a 26.1% increase from the previous year. Said that the regional distribution of the sales was pretty even. Midwest and the South pulled ahead in April, and I think the West was a little bit negative. So if you look, you know, more into the geographic regions in the United States, it was pretty well spread out, but positive overall.
We also got the latest pending home sales data this week, and it actually hit its highest level since late 2006. Pending home sales increased 3.4%, and it's up about approximately 14% year over year. So new home sales, pending home sales, obviously had the Case-Shiller down, but two positive numbers there.
Yeah, mortgage applications didn't follow through, took a step back a little bit, and really it was led by negative refinance. Yeah, so I guess 4% might be the magic number. If it hits 4%, people quit refinancing.
Well, and it's floated right there underneath. The 30-year fixed average has been right below 4% for months and months and months now.
Yeah.
And, you know, just this week, you know, you got what it bump up.
Eight basis points to 4%.
Exactly. But it didn't stop the buyers. That was the positive in all the news. The purchase index of the MBA mortgage applications was up 1.2%. So anyway, it's I guess it follows through with the rest of the information that we're getting here. Jobless claims, actually initial claims for unemployment insurance increased. And it also pushed up the four-week moving average, which is really what we look at a bit more closely. But it's at 271.5.
Below the kind of benchmark number of 300,000, which is historically rare to see the four-week moving average below that number. So we're still well below it, too, 271.
Yeah. Right, yep. Going in the wrong direction, but still really low. And then the consumer price index, a measure of inflation, rose. I think you take out energy and food, and it rose 0.3%, so 0.3%.
1.8% if you look year over year, which is the number that you'll often hear the Fed speak to. They're looking for that 2% inflation number.
Yeah, that's the target. I really believe until we get a bit closer to that 2% or even over the 2%, you're going to see the Fed not getting a big rush to raise interest rates.
And there's plenty. I mean, there's a lot of economic data to be released, and I think we have the next Fed meeting in about 2 weeks in June, and there's a lot of we got an employment situation coming out. We have a GDP reading the end of this week, revision of the first quarter, which, you know, a lot of people expect to see go negative to down negative 1%, which I think will be only the third time since 2009 that we've seen that. So a lot of data to take in and kind of base what we think the Fed's going to do off of the latest data.
Yep. 2-year Treasury rose 3 basis points or 0.03% on the week. Declines for 5, 10, and the 30-year otherwise, and it was just small steps down. So nothing really earth-shattering there. Like I say, the biggest news was probably that 30-year mortgage hitting 4% again.
Yep.
Few notable earnings releases this week. We had Michael Kors was a big mover. The company beat on the bottom line and came in line on the top line in revenue number, but their guidance was not nearly what the street was expecting. You saw shares fall 25%, and that's a stock that has actually done quite well over the past year, really since its IPO. It hasn't been public for all that long.
Yeah, that big decline took some of the others with it. Didn't Fossils struggle a little bit in that, as
yep.
well as Coach, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Both their stocks.
That seems to be
down.
A trend, Nick, what you're talking about, missing on the revenue and beating earnings. It's several of the companies that reported this past week seem to follow that trend, and
right.
we've seen that.
Yep.
Well, if
like
you look, you know, if you look at the analysis of the earnings season as a whole, sales surprise negative 0.02%, earnings surprise positive 7%. Although growth was not, you know, real robust, 0.27% for growth in earnings, and sales growth was actually negative at 3.3%.
Well, all right. Well, lots more to talk about when we come back from the break. We're going to get into a case study. We're going to talk about Cordelia. She's been a widow since 1989, and we're going to talk about her estate issues that she's trying to work through. But don't touch that dial. You're listening to Money Talks. We'll be right back.
Well, I walk into the room, passing out $100 bills, and it kills, and it...
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.